The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
As you know, with a new year sometimes comes a few changes. A change for us is that we will be taking a hiatus in several markets at the beginning of the new year. Denver, Atlanta, Portland, Little Rock, Orlando, and Tampa. At the start of 2023, we will not be broadcasting in these radio markets. However, if you are in those cities, you can still listen to What's Right, What's Left online at thewordcleveland.com. That's thewordcleveland.com. Cleveland, as you know, is our home market. We expect that this hiatus will be temporary, but we need to take a hiatus while we catch up on a few bills. We are a donor-supported ministry, so thank you to those of you who have been supporting us from those cities. And we look forward to getting back with you on the radio in those cities as soon as possible.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is still, after 50 years, the voice of the Christian resistance movement. And back way back in the back room there, locked in there until they get enough pledges to get bathroom privileges, none other than Wild Randy and Eric. And in between us, the studio, there's two in there, okay? These are rising stars in the radio business, Style and Craig, and looking someday to be just like their hero. And you know who that is, right? And then right here in the studio, straight off the farm, she does no harm. She's the studio marm, Little Leaping Liz.
Good evening, everyone.
You forgot your name, didn't you?
Yes, Lisa.
Yeah, all right. All righty. But you see now, again, this is, well, see, this is January 18th, unless, the 19th?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
But you see, you don't understand. Nowadays, if you feel like it's the 18th, it can be the 18th, see? This is how I'm going to keep, this is how we keep those stations from going off the air. We just keep, we do the groundhog thing. You know, every day until we get enough money in to keep them on the air. And that's my philosophy way out yonder, way out there in Missouri. The man from the Ozarks, none other than the pastor, the parson, the old friend, Joe Larson.
The old friend is correct. Pastor is correct, and I'm here ready to go to work.
We sure got a lot to do tonight. I mean, so it's got to be rapid deployment, huh?
Rapid deployment.
All righty. Well, let's get on with it then. We're going to start, I'm going to kind of mess you up a little bit, because we're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we're just going to do the entire chapter, all right?
Sounds good to me.
All right, so here's what you do. You read verses 1 through 7 and pause, and we'll take a look at it.
All right. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, be of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. What you just read, is that simply the Apostle Paul's opinion, or did he get that from a much higher source?
He got everything from a much higher source.
Okay.
Everything he taught, he was given by the Lord himself.
So now let me ask you this, because the Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass, but his words will stand forever. Does he talk about changing his words? Okay, in other words, if you decide, well, you know what, we're going to kind of change some wording in here, instead of putting if a man desired the office, what if we put down if a person desired the office, and then if it says a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, what if we just put the partner of one partner? I mean, would that be changing the word of God?
And we're not to change it one jot, one tittle. His word is eternal. What he said will last forever. He said exactly what he meant. He meant what he said, and no man has any right to change it because he can't. He can lie about it, but he can't change it.
So these words stand for today just exactly like they were when they were first written. Is that correct?
And it'll be the same 10,000 years from now, if that matters to anybody.
Okay, so it says this is a true statement. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. So does that leave any room for female bishops?
Nope, none.
Okay.
Nowhere in the Bible does it authorize that, hint, suggest.
So there's no stuttering there.
No.
It's pretty cut and dry, isn't it?
It is.
Okay, so what is a bishop?
A bishop is a pastor.
So, a bishop, a presbyter, a pastor, a parson, an elder, could they all be the same office, a shepherd?
The same office.
Same office, okay. So, a bishop must be blameless. Does that mean sinless?
No, it means he's gotten right with God. We all sin, but those of us who are born again know we can always go to the Lord when we sin and ask for forgiveness, and we stay on his righteous side.
Okay, so the husband of one wife, okay, which one?
The original.
Okay, so if his wife, he becomes a widower, can he remarry?
Yes.
Okay. So he must be vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no stalker, nor greedy. No.
No striker. You said you misspoke. You said stalker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We better clarify that.
Well, but stalker applies too, right?
We can't be a stalker either.
Yeah. Okay. So, not given to wine. Does that mean he cannot drink wine for any reason?
No, not given to wine there means he's not continually drinking. He's not a drinker. He's
so,
not imbibing all the time.
So he's, he said, no striker. Okay. What does that mean, striker?
A lazy person, a person that tries to get out of work, tries to,
Well, now, actually, what that means is someone who's violent, someone who's violent.
Oh, violent? Oh,
yeah.
I thought striker. Okay, I had that wrong. I thought
yeah.
striker was...
Not greedy. That? Not greedy. A filthy... Would that apply to the prosperity preachers?
Yeah, not greedy, a filthy lucre. Yeah, if you have multi-million dollar homes, you have an airplane, a private yacht, several homes, I'd say, yeah, that kind of fits.
Okay, so he says, not greedy, a filthy lucre. Does the love of money here, is the root of all evil apply? Let me jump in here for one second and just say Robert in Florida pledges 130, and Pastor Dave Nato, my old friend, my good friend from the Church of Warren out there, the Church of Warren, is a he donated or pledged 300. God bless you, Dave. He's a dear friend for many, many years, and so. Thank you, thank you. All right, very good. Let's go back here. Now, he says, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his... You notice it's his. So the emphasis, they're making very, very clear that only a man can hold the office of a bishop or a pastor or a deacon. What about deaconesses? Are there deaconesses?
I haven't seen it anywhere in here. It's always masculine.
Well, actually, there are deaconesses, okay, and they're simply women one who serves. It's simply the same.
One, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here we're talking pastors, elders or pastors or bishops. He's talking about pastors, the pastoral office. But, yeah, you can have a group of deacons in a church that aren't pastors, but they are they're there to help the pastor run the church.
Yeah. Now, in most fundamentalist Baptist churches, well, you have deacons in all of them, and but the ladies that serve often are referred to deaconesses, although it's not an office that's appointed like the office of a deacon that's appointed by the pastors. But and so here now, he goes on. Oh, this is important. For if a man know how not to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So in order, in other words, to be a pastor, really, it's suggested that you be
a good example.
Right.
You shouldn't be a gambler. You shouldn't be in debt. You should be able to manage your finances, live within your budget, everything that would make a good example to those in your church. That's what
so
you should be.
Is marriage counseling a major duty of pastors? Is that something that we often have to do?
A very, very important part, and a very hard part of the
so
job.
So to counsel for marriage in the family, is it good to have some experience in that?
Yes, it's very good.
Okay.
You know, when people start complaining, you have to have some concept of what it's like. Scripture says two are to become one. Takes some friction for two to blend into one person. There's a lot of friction getting there.
So today, people take marriage very lightly.
Very lightly.
They miss a point. Now, does God take marriage lightly?
No. It's, to him, it was a very serious, important thing.
And so today, marriage and divorce on even keel. Just about for everyone who gets married, you almost have a divorce out there today.
Well, all one person has to do is go to the, quote, law and say, I'm one out, and you're out. I mean, and even other times when a spouse says, no, I don't want to be divorced, the court doesn't care. So unless you go to a church court, you're divorced.
Okay, now, at an ecclesiastical court, they can't, if they're married in the ecclesiastical, without the state license, the state cannot divorce them. They've got to go back to the council to get lawfully
right.
to get
they
a divorce.
To go back to the ecclesiastical group.
So he's talking about here, see, because the second shortest verse in the Bible is what? Three words, God hates divorce.
Yeah.
And so here now, not a novice, lest he be enlifted up with pride, full of condemnation. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Is one of the big mistakes that a lot of pastors, younger pastors especially, make is to appoint people in the church to an office before those people are ready?
That, yes, would be one. I had to stop and think. There's a lot of decisions made, and they're all difficult.
Okay. As a young pastor myself, I was guilty of that. And this is a warning that Paul gives you. Paul gives you a warning to make sure that believers are really secure and strong in their faith before they start taking leadership roles. And sometimes, what they say and how they live can be two different things, huh? I mean, they can.
Right, exactly. Sometimes, unless you really know somebody, you don't know what goes on in their world at work. Or a lot of those people gamble, go places, do things that you just don't know about.
Likewise, must deacons be grave and not double-tongued, not given to much wine. What does that mean to be double-tongued?
Well, we call it two-faced talking out of both sides of your mouth, saying different things to different people.
Okay. In other words, they're supposed to be sincere, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay. So
sincere and honest.
Right. Not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of faith in pure conscience. Let those also first be provided, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slander or sober, faithful in all things. Now, that word wives there is referring specifically, but in some translations that they have wife, they have it translated also women, that meaning the women in the congregation are to be like the deacon's wife or the pastor's wife. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own house as well. For they have used the office of a deacon well, purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness of faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So basically they're held to the same standards as the pastor, aren't they?
Right. You can't have a man claim to be a pastor and have his wife be a non-believer, flirtatious or, can't think of some of the other words, but she has to be able to fit in and be, well, the two have to become as one. She would be like her husband then. And if not, there's a big problem in that marriage.
So here, these things I write unto you, hoping to come to you shortly. But if I tarry, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God. Now, he's referring to a couple of things here, isn't he? He's saying that here that men are to be tested with, well, you say lesser responsibilities before being made deacons is one thing, but then he's also talking about how to behave yourself in the house of God. Just recently, I upset some people because I had reminded them that they had that arguing in the house of God and losing a temper was not church polity, okay? And that that wasn't acceptable, and so they were angry. Now, is to argue with a pastor when, is that given place? If we look back, what happened when Mary and Aaron decided that, you know, look, they knew more about how to run things than little brother Moses. And they decided, Moses, step down and let us show you how to get this done. What was the result of that?
Didn't work out very well for them.
No, it didn't go too well with them.
God, it wasn't what God wanted.
And so, Marion became, well, I wouldn't say a white supremacist, but a supremely white, didn't she?
I'm sorry, what?
Miriam, God had given her leprosy.
Oh, yes.
And when you get leprosy, you turn white.
Yes.
And so here, what happened when he did that with Moses and Aaron? What did they do? They started whimpering and whining, and God told them, well, shut up.
Yeah, a lot of complaining.
It's, we're only going to give it to her for a while. She's only going to have it for a week. But the point that he was trying to make was, he tells you not to touch his anointed, okay? And here in this passage, Paul is talking about in how to behave yourself in the house of God. One, arguing with each other is not be. Two, arguing with the pastor is not acceptable. What does it tell you over in Hebrews? Chapter 13, verse 7 and 17. In both those verses, it says, listen to what the pastor has said. God has put him in authority, and listen to what he has said. And, you know, don't give him a hard way to go, huh?
Exactly. No, that doesn't mean you can't question and ask what he meant by something he said in a sermon, or if he... I have made mistakes and misspoken or misquoted.
Yeah, I told everybody about it when you did it.
Hmm?
I told everybody about it when you did it.
Of course. never mind.
All righty.
The point is, we're none of us are perfect. We do make mistakes, and if somebody nicely points it out, but that's different than totally arguing on a real matter of doctrine.
All right. I had a woman that three times over the period of a couple of years stood up during the service and decided to correct me as I was preaching. Now, in all three cases, what she was saying was way off. She was not biblically literate as she thought she was, but was that the, if you have a question, is that the right place to do it, or are you supposed to go and see the pastor afterwards?
Because,
pardon?
You don't disrupt the service.
Okay. And with this particular woman, I found out that she was made to leave several churches for doing that in other churches that she was made to leave there, okay?
She didn't seem to learn, did she?
Well, as far as I know, she hasn't done it since.
Hmm.
Because what I let her know pretty clearly that was not the right time or place to do what she did. All right, we want to just go on and say Maria in California pledges 50. Thank you, Maria. The phone numbers are, we've been into the Bible and haven't been giving the numbers out. 888-281-1110. That's the pledge line. Let's blame we'll blame it on Craig and Style. They're supposed to be holding a paper up, tell us to call, right? And you know, we'll pass the buck. In fact, we gotta get bucks in here a lot. 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. We have a whole lot that we got to do tonight. We got to really get it done. Let me say this very quickly. This coming Sunday, Doers of the Word Baptist Church, we're having our film fest. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of what, Joe?
Knowledge.
And this is what we give out. We have that class that we give. But this Saturday, it's from 1 o'clock to 5. 1 o'clock to 5. Not only are we going to have this film fest there, Joe, but we're going to have thousands of articles. People often say to me, where can I get that the article you quoted? Where can I get that? Well, folks, we don't have the manpower to go and find the articles. That's why we have the newsletter. We mail these things out in the newsletter. If you get our newsletter, you'll get a lot of the really good articles. But here they're going to be out there, and you can go through them, take what you want. We would ask if you could a donation to help us pay for airtime, but it's not necessary. So that's this Saturday at Doers of the Word Church, 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, Ohio. You go to our website, wrwl.org, and all that information's up there. And we're going to have some films like the January 6th, what really happened on January 6th, the truth. The Enemy Within, and a real inspirational movie called Daniel. And so all of these and more we will be showing you. And also, like I said, we're going to have all these articles available. So we're going to go to a break. We'll be right back after this.
Once a man's home was his castle, only his foes would violate. And the border of his property was the moat round his estate. All these kingly rights of sovereignty, once bestowed on us by God, have been lost somewhere in history, in the fine print and the fraud. Once a man and his religion was protected by the law. In America, the Constitution formed a verbal wall. Now the law that used to separate is a law that's daily breached. Now the worried watchman on the wall is crying, heaven's under siege. Heaven's under siege. Woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government, but heaven's under siege. Heard the watchman sound a warning call back in 1992. When they murdered Vicky Weaver, just like they'll murder me or you. When they stormed the church in Waco, women and children burned alive. And now the ones who rot in prisons are the ones they let survive. Heaven's under siege. Woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. Now a voice cries in the wilderness as the Lord prepares his church. Will his called and chosen servants be found faithful on this earth? Will we pass the test of heaven's quest, never counting earthly loss? Will we fight like Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross? Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. I said corruption reigns in government
when heaven's under siege.
Alrighty, heaven is under siege. You know, one of the things, Joe, I would like to do this year is to stay on all the stations, but it looks like we're going to go off six in about by next Wednesday, unless the good Lord provides us with a miracle. But it's not because we haven't done everything we could to stay on it. We just didn't get enough help from the listeners out there. That's starting to change now. All of a sudden, we're in those states, those six, we're starting to get some feedback. I'm just hoping it's not too little too late. But anyhow, that's what I'd really like to do is stay on the air. And so what we're going to do is very quickly, I'm going to bring Carol up because tomorrow we're going to face the sinister Nowaka. Okay, Carol, let them have it.
Well, let me ask you a question. Did you see the Maple Leaf newspaper? We made the front page.
Oh, really? My whole life I've wanted to be on the front page of the Maple Leaf.
Well, we made it. It said, Crowd mocks Nowaka climate action plan.
All right. Very good.
Yeah. So we made the front page. Isn't that great?
Well, people are starting to stand up. People are fighting back. We're going to play a clip here in just a few minutes about some legislation that I think they're going to pass here in Ohio to get critical race theories out of the school. But we have some very, very communistic sinister, very communistic woke school board superintendents and that are saying there's ways that they can get around that. Even if it's the law, they're going to lie. But anyhow, go ahead and tell folks about tomorrow. We got to get it done.
They lied and said that the police officers had to escort the Nowaka ladies out, and the police said no, they weren't worried about them. But they lie. They lie so much.
Well, yeah,
it's a lie.
You would expect. Look, they also said that the majority of the people were in favor of Nowaka, where you had one person out of about 60. The rest said, "We want you out of our county and out of our lives. We want you gone." So go ahead and tell the folks about tomorrow.
Okay, so tomorrow we got a bus that's going to be leaving the shopping center, Eastgate Shopping Center, on the corner of 322, which is Mayfield Road, and Route 91. We're going to park our cars at close to Aldi's, and where the bus is leaving at 7:45, so we need people there by no later than 7:30, so we can get on the bus and get ready to go, okay? The bus is almost full, so we need a few more seats filled. We're getting there. We're going down to the Nowaka headquarters, the board meeting that they have tomorrow. We're going to take banners, flags. We're going to show them that we're not backing down. We don't care what they write about us. We don't care what they say. We're not going to receive what they're trying to bring in our community. So we're going to fight the fight, Pastor Ernie. We're going to go and we're going to push them back and say no. So we have an agenda. We're going to sign a petition that we're going to give to them and say, this is the people that are here. We're not going to accept your program. We don't want it. And it's $15 to come on the bus. If it has anybody questions, I'm getting ready to go to bed. So don't call me and ask me for any questions. I'm giving you the location, the bus is leaving at 7:45. We're going downtown Cleveland. If you're going to take a car and go down there, the address is 1299 Superior Avenue.
Well, I know a couple of guys that are going to take a car, go down there, and by the time they find a place to park, they're going to be doing some walking, but they're used to it.
Yeah.
So you're going to go to bed, and you're going to get some sleep. But my poor old bones.
No, I'm not going to bed. That's the problem. I can't. I'm a night person. So I'm always up to 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. So this is going to be a challenge to me, Pastor, to go in there and try to fight my body to go to sleep, which I won't. But I will get in the Word. I will pray for tomorrow's event and stuff like that. So I can't say I'll go to sleep because I can't do that. I can't just shut my body off like that.
Well, you see, I'm one of those guys that can take a nap standing up. And
are you coming on the bus with us? Are you coming on the bus with us?
Well, I have to because you women have been forcing me to do that.
Good, good. So listen, we'll put you, give two seats in the front for you, and you could just lay your little heady down, and you could take a 15, 20-minute snooze, and you'll get refreshed.
All right.
We won't bother you. I'll even bring some earplugs so you won't even hear us talking.
All righty. What I'll do is I'll pray for traveling mercies, then I'll pray that the Lord makes all the women on the bus be quiet until we get there.
Okay. We'll bring you earplugs, like I said.
That'd be a miracle. Guy does miracles, right? All righty. Okay, well, I'll be looking for you in the morning.
Okay, me too. You have a blessed night, and I'll be praying. I'm going to go pray now, and we've been praying for this.
All right. We got to get it done because we got to take our country back. Our children, they want to take away our property. Well, they want to take away all of our freedoms. It's all about control, What we can, where we can live, how we can live, what we can eat, where we can go. But the vast majority of people in this country are la-la landers. They're clueless. They've got no idea what you have out there sneaking under the radar where people can't see it. These deep state, sinister, shadowy figures out there bribing public officials, out there lobbying public officials. And there's only a few of us, that, like always, that, you know, that stand and fight. We're the freedom fighters. And, you know, Ronald Reagan said, it'll be amazing. People someday will be amazed at how those that had the most to lose did the least to keep it. And that's what's happening. The vast majority of people in this country are clueless. They just look around like Chicken Littles while the few of us have to fight like Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross, huh? So, good night, little. Well, all right. Okay, with that, I know what we're going to do. We're going to play a clip very quickly. Let's play that clip.
There's more than one way to skin a cat.
We trick them, you know.
Critical race theory.
And some Ohio lawmakers want to ban what is known as critical race theory from being taught in K-12 schools.
Ohio parents are worried about what their children are being taught, and they are right to be worried. An in-depth Accuracy in Media investigation revealed public school administrators who are determined to advance the principles of critical race theory even if it becomes illegal. And some of the worst things we captured were right in the capital city, Columbus.
All I can think of when I think of that house bill is my Southern parents always raising us on these little funky phrases that I never understood. And one of them was, there's more than one way to skin a cat. So whether you can pass a bill that you can't teach CRT in a classroom, but if you didn't cover programming, or you didn't cover extracurricular activities or something like that, that message might still get out. Oops.
Right. Oh, gosh. I love that.
Oops.
There
would be a way. We kept getting these emails, do you have critical race theory in your curriculum, which was what the talking point was from a certain news channel. So we got to the point where first we're going to ask you, what do you mean by critical race theory?
Do you think we're teaching higher education grad school stuff to your second grader?
And then the second thing is, no, we don't have that in our curriculum. You didn't ask about the conversations in the hallway. You didn't ask about, which we don't have those anyway. But the point is, we're going to answer your question. Nowhere in our curriculum does critical race theory exist. And it went away.
I kind of want to know that y'all are having some conversation around,
like, the tenets of it, like diversity, equity, inclusion, social justice.
Those conversations are happening. Absolutely. But you know, and when people ask us a question, we answer their question. But yes, we absolutely have those conversations going on. Is there a parent saying that privilege is a controversial topic? Probably, but don't get me wrong, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Yeah.
I mean, that will probably get discussed in 17 classrooms before somebody actually brings it in here, and then we'll deal with it.
These radicals are being paid by your tax dollars to deceive you. These public school administrators are devoted to promoting social justice in classrooms. They are devoted to teaching your children that America is systemically racist, that capitalism is inherently racist. And when parents speak out against these things, they're often accused of being dramatic or engaging in a slippery slope fallacy. But this equity officer made it incredibly clear that the fears of these parents are completely justified.
They're not going to be supportive if I lay out everything we're going to do. But if I talk to them about doing this one thing in the name of supporting students, they probably won't have an issue with this one thing. And by the time we get that thing established, if I start talking to them about this one other thing, they don't realize that was two things. They just realize that we're moving from where we are to where we're going. But we're not going here because that would be liberal. That'd be a little crazy.
Right.
But we can go.
And then in 5 years.
Yeah, five because years you look back and like, what the hell happened?
Another Columbus administrative staffer was a little more direct in explaining how they handle concerned parents.
Wait, we have some parents that, you know, they don't fully understand. So, you know, it's when we trick them, you know.
What do you mean?
But, well, I'm just, so, it, similar situation. So, if we have a certain content that we want to share with students, and they see one word in the language, it's like, oh, no, we can't do that. Well, let's look at it from a different, you know, viewpoint, and then it's
changed.
They're
the
okay, you know.
At the end of the day, we can close the door and teach what's right. And I would presume and hope, I don't know, that an attitude would be similar here if stupid laws got passed. I don't know.
It's hard to predict. Yeah, it's hard to predict that, but we would find parameters for which we could. Absolutely.
That's right. Ohio hasn't banned the principles of critical race theory from being taught in public schools. But as plenty of administrators told us, they would happily circumvent any such law. One common tactic is to use social and emotional learning. SEL is often a Trojan horse for critical race theory. And as one administrator told us, they're even using COVID bailout money to pay for it. They're taking funds that were dedicated to reopening schools safely during a pandemic and instead spending it on indoctrination.
Are you guys able to do social and emotional learning here, or do the parents?
We do focus a lot of, so with the federal funds that got awarded for, we call them ESSER funds, but federal funds that got awarded for the pandemic, we put a social worker and a guidance counselor in every single building.
Cool.
And we incorporated a lot of materials that were focused on the social, emotional well-being, self-regulating, you know, different levels and things like that.
And I feel like that's a good way to get diversity, equity, inclusion into classes it might not normally be in.
Yes.
Another Trojan horse for critical race theory principles is a classroom news service called Newzella. We've found Newzella in countless districts throughout the country, and as we've mentioned previously, they're partners with the far-left Southern Poverty Law Center, revisionist historian Howard Zinn, and the debunked New York Times 1619 Project.
So we use Newzella in a couple of different capacities. So we use it for not only some of our like core content, so our social studies uses it, we use it as a supplement for language arts also.
In Ohio, just like we saw with our investigations in Iowa, Idaho, and Tennessee, parents are playing an endless game of whack-a-mole with public education. If you ban critical race theory principles, they call it something else. If you ban the 1619 Project, they bring in the same content under the guise of Newzella. Parents want to believe in public education. They want to trust their child's educators. But I'm sorry to say, public education has broken that trust. The only solution to this is Arizona-style school choice, where public education dollars follow the child. In the words of Corey DeAngelis, we should fund students, not systems.
Alrighty, we are back. And Joe, I wanted to say, hit real quickly. But first, I wanted to say, you folks out there, for those of you, now you have to tell us you want it. Those of you that have donated $50 or more, we have a book. Was Karl Marx a Satanist, folks? I'm going to tell you, by Richard Wurmbrand. Years ago, we had Richard on the radio program, and it shows you. You read this book, and you will see exactly what Hawaii, the Democratic Party, is communist to the bone, and where communism comes right from the pit of hell. It is right from the pit of hell. Communism is Satanism. Now, for those of $25 or more, we have a little book called How to Survive Forced Vaccinations. How to Survive Forced Vaccinations. And that's the Detox Anti-Infection Protocols by Dr. Cass Ingram, who passed away last year, who was a frequent guest on this radio program over the years. And that's for a donation of $25, or if for a donation of $70 or more, you can give both. But you have to ask for them. You have to tell us, I want that book. Was Karl Marx a Satanist? Or How to Survive Forced Vaccinations, okay? You have to ask for it. Now, if you pledged and you put money in PayPal or something and already paid but didn't get the books and you want the books, then call our office, 440-338-1367. 440-338-1367. Very quickly, I want to say BMV pledges $400. Mike in Wisconsin pledges $30. Harry and Sherry in Florida pledges $200. Peter in Canada pledges $150. Sherry in Parma, I think that's my old friend, Sherry in Parma, $190. And Lisa in New Jersey pledges $100. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hey, Joe, in Indianapolis, in response to a tweet Wednesday morning about a proposed Minnesota state bill that would require menstrual products in boys' schools' bathrooms, Tony Dungy scoffed via Twitter. That's the former Indianapolis Colts coach who tweeted this morning or yesterday morning at 9:38 that some school districts are putting litter boxes in school bathrooms for students who identify as cats. Very important to address every student's needs. This is really unbelievable. But let's see, here's what that female state representative, what these women, these feminists don't understand. See, if they're having a menstrual period, Joe, then they're not boys, Joe.
Boys, right.
They're not. See, boys don't have. Now, they did that out there in Seattle and Portland, didn't they? They tried doing that. But see, these feminists don't understand that. It's a little bit too deep for them. But if they're having a menstrual period, they're not boys. Believe me.
Well,
trust me on this one.
They're really having to rebel because they have these men who are trying to transform or pretend to transform to women, wanting to date the women, and they're claiming to be lesbian. And the real lesbians are saying, wait a minute, a man, you know, desiring to become or acting like a female cannot be a lesbian. So it's getting very confused. But before we get off, I want to go back to the clip you played, because I got into going on the radio because of the public school system and what they were doing to the children. And that last part about fund the student, not the system, not the system. So many people want to believe the school because they made the school the heart of the community. You know, the little Christmas, at Christmas time, everybody in a rural area, you'll have a small town with 10 times the people that the city limits holds. When the little kids are singing, I wish you a Merry Christmas and all this, they made it the center of the community, the nursery, everything, the sports, all the excitement with the kids, whether they play basketball, football, track. But I want to go back and read a couple of quotes from the 1980s. If you don't believe these people are after your children, I want you to listen to things that were many years ago. This came from John Dunphy, who is a liberal. It was in the Humanist magazine, January 1983. The battle for mankind's future, got that? Must be waged and won in the public school classroom. The classroom must and will become the arena of conflict between the old and the new, the rotting corpse of Christianity and the new faith of humanism. I probably have 70 to 80 quotes along this vein, but here's another one. This is from Chester Pierce. He is a PhD at Harvard, a professor of education and psychiatry. every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because he comes to school with certain allegiances to our founding fathers, toward elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in, he wanted to say God, but he wrote supernatural being, and toward the sovereignty of this nation. It's up to you teachers to make all these sick children well by creating the international child of the future. And like I said, I've got dozens and dozens of quotes like that. This war against the children, Pastor Ernie, has been going on a long time. And what I want to ask the listeners out there, we are having a war now, a total all-out war against your children. Why are there so many people, parents out there, killing their children right up, to birth? Why are they trying to sexualize your children from as young as possible, even before they get to school? Why have we allowed them to inject the children with experimental vaccines that are dangerous, ineffective, were never tested on people? Why are we glorifying, I call it demonically possessed men that are dressing and acting like women? Why,
they're not men, they're barely males, but they're not, right. Believe me.
But I'm, trying to make this short. We've got these, imagine TikTok is seducing our children. We have our kids out there taking drugs, powerful drugs, hormones. We are indoctrinating them in communist Marxist stuff, critical race theory, like they said.
Not we, they, the enemy. Will
the
be,
schools.
The enemy, right.
The schools and the enemy are. And we sit back and wonder why there's so many suicides, why so many of these kids are depressed, why they're anxious, why they're addicted to drugs and alcohol at ever younger and younger and younger ages. They're having sex at younger and younger.
That's
ages.
The intent.
They are destroying themselves.
That's the intent, Joe. That's
right.
The intent for that to happen, to destroy them. In other words, the Bible makes it very clear. Remember, what we call the woke movement or liberalism, the Democrats, they're in total opposition to whatever God's word the Bible teaches. Now, the Bible says, whose angels are before the Lord continuously?
The children.
Jesus said they're angels. And so who God favors the most, they hate the most. And the most innocent. This is why they want to hurt them. This is why they love to kill unborn babies.
They're innocent and made in the image of God. And I guess what I'm trying to get to the listener out there is, if we don't stop this and walk out now and start saying, in the name of Jesus, stop. In the name of Jesus, we are not going to tolerate this. We're not going to put up with this. We will not allow our children to be taught this in schools. We will not allow our children to go on TikTok. We're not going to allow the Dwight drag queens at the library for book story hours. If people would en masse come together and go rally and complain and say, in the name of Jesus, no, we can stop this.
That's right, Joe. We've been preaching that for 50 years, but we're coming up to a break. During the break is the best time to call at 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. We have to hear from you or you will not be hearing from us. And so call now. We'll be back right after this with more.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.